Now, our reading this morning is from the International Children's Bible, and it's Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. The angel said, "Get ready and go south. Go to the road that leads down to Gaza from Jerusalem, the desert road." So Philip got ready and went. On the road, he saw a man from Ethiopia, an important officer in the service of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He was responsible for taking care of all her money. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was on his way home. He was sitting in his chariot and reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So Philip ran toward the chariot. He heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He answered, "How can I understand? I need someone to explain it to me." Then he invited Philip to climb in and sit with him. The verse that he was reading was this: "He was like a sheep being led to be killed. He was quiet as a sheep is quiet while its wool is being cut. He said nothing. He was shamed and was treated unfairly. He died without children to continue his family. His life on earth has ended." The officer said to Philip, "Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or about someone else?" Philip began to speak. He started with this same scripture and told the man the good news about Jesus. While they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. And the officer said, "Look, here is water. What's stopping me from being baptized?" Philip answered, "If you believe with all your heart, you can." And the officer said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then the officer commanded the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the officer went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away, and the officer never saw him again. The officer continued on his way home full of joy. But Philip appeared in a city called Azotus, and preach the good news in all the towns on the way from Azotus to Caesarea.
Can I just say a big thank you to Anne John for being such a good sport? I had this wacky idea last week of creating a chariot out of a mobile scooter, and she was good enough to oblige my madness. So thank you. I want to explore quite a lot about what's going on here, because so much is about stepping out in faith. Now, Ethiopia is a country in Africa, which some of you will know incredibly well where it is, and others of you may not. So, Gloria, can you do me a favour? She didn't volunteer for this, but she's going to. Aaron, could you do me a favour, please? Can you hold that map so that these guys over here can see it? And Gloria, can you hold this map so that these guys over here can see it? Okay, now the first thing we're going to do is we're going to identify where Ethiopia is, and then we're going to work out where Jerusalem is. Just to put this in context, so anyone feeling confident that they can identify where Ethiopia is on the map? Okay, let's go for it. Different ones on different maps, okay? So only one pen, you'll have to wait, Jim. Do you want to go for it, Annalise? Do you want to circle it, please? Yes, and you've got to mark Jerusalem too. Oh, very good. Look at that. Just hide it from Jim so he can't see and copy, okay? Jim, you go for it. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah, could you mark Jerusalem, please? Yep, we need Jerusalem as well. Yeah, nice. Now, have a look at both of these maps. Because what I want to point out is this. This Ethiopian guy has made a bit of a journey. So my first question to you, turn to your neighbour. I want you to tell the person next to your neighbour, how far is it from your home to church? And how long did it take for you to get here, okay? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. How far do you live from church? How long did it take for you to get there? There are no prizes for you, but if there was a prize for the shortest journey, I win. I win. But what I want to talk to you about is, think about the journey that you've made, and for some of you it is longer and it requires planning. Now think about this Ethiopian and all that came with him. He travelled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. Can anyone hazard a guess how far that is in miles? Because I looked it up. It's quite an interesting distance. Anybody want to hazard a guess? And we're going to go a bit Brucey on you here. If you remember Brucey. Higher, lower. We're going to go a bit Brucey. So we're going to have a starter, okay? Randolph. 3,000. Lower, lower. George. 7,000. No, no, that's higher, George. We had 3,000. It's lower than 3,000. 2,000. Lower, lower. Getting closer. Higher, higher. Lower, 1,800. Lower, 1,600. Higher, 1,800. Sorry, 1,500. Higher, 1,800. Lower. Anyone want to have a guess? Sorry? 1,700 over here? It is 1,600 miles. Now think about it. 1,600 miles. And they reckon that if you were traveling those days, keep holding those things, my friends. Can I have another couple of volunteers? Only very quickly, Kirsten, you look very keen to volunteer. Do you want to hold that up? And somebody else, maybe hold one over here if you go alongside. Somebody over here want to hold this up? Thanks, Mike. This was a travelling caravan, okay? So although I've gone in a motorised buggy, this was camels and etc. Guys with the travelling caravans, can you just walk down the two aisles? Parade, you're on the catwalk. Fantastic. I was very, very tempted this morning to play a piece of music to you, because whenever I think of travelling caravans, because of my age, I think of the Court of King Caractacus, but I'm not for obvious reasons. So, as they come back, I want to ask a question. Why had the Ethiopian man gone to Jerusalem? Why? Because I'll tell you that in a caravan like that, the experts reckon 75 days to get there. Can you imagine on a camel? 75 days to get there. Your worship. Maybe. 75 days back. Think about that for a round trip. What do we know about the Ethiopian man who's gone up to Jerusalem? What does the passage tell us? They say he was worshipping, so he's gone up to Jerusalem. But what else do we know? Do we know anything more about him? Anything else in the passage? Cursed. No? Ian? He's the treasurer? Yep. Do we know anything else about faith of any sort to do with him? I don't think we can assume he was Jewish. It's interesting. The scripture refers to the fact that he was a God-fearer. But what that means, we don't actually know. For those of you who are interested, and I'm not going to get into it if you're getting worried with small children, but because of a slight condition he had, he wouldn't have been allowed to have worshipped in the temple. And you can look that up in Deuteronomy. So he's gone to worship, but why has he gone to worship? We know that he's interested. He's reading a scroll from Isaiah. Guys, thank you very much for help. If you put your bits of card down here. Just on the chair is fine. He's worshipping a scripture. Sorry, he's worshipping. He's reading a scripture from Isaiah. And he's curious. Now, the thing that's interesting is if you were, part of the Jewish community, and you were reading a scripture like this, the scriptures meant something in relation to potential Messiah, Savior who would come. But this guy, we know he doesn't understand it. He really doesn't understand it. He's got a heart for God, but he doesn't understand it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to read this scripture together. You can find it in your service sheet. You can read it off this one if you like. But let's read this scripture together. So let's go. 1, 2, 3. He was like a sheep being led to be killed. He was quiet as a sheep is quiet while its wool is being cut. He said nothing. He was shamed and was treated unfairly. He died without children to continue his family. His life on earth has ended. I know that's a very unfamiliar translation, but we were being friendly to our families today by having the International Children's Bible. It avoids the E word. Can anyone here who's feeling brave begin to want to unpick what you think that scripture means? Anyone feeling brave? Anybody want to contribute some thoughts on what you think that scripture means? Who you think scripture is referring to? Okay, referring to Jesus. Somebody want to unpick it? Okay, speaking about Jesus and his crucifixion. Okay. Now let me just put this to you. We're sat here, and I know some of us are a bit nervous. And we've got this idea that we know that Jesus went to the crucifixion. Jesus didn't complain. He was quiet. The scripture talks about being quiet. But when we're asked about it, we sometimes get a little bit nervous about explaining it. Cue Philip. So let's explore Philip a little bit. The Lord takes Philip. And last week, we saw Philip with Dodgy Simon. Do you remember Dodgy Simon last week? Not that Simon. Sound Simon was at New Wine. Dodgy Simon was a sorcerer. Do you remember? And we heard a bit about Philip there. Now the angel of the Lord sends Philip to a road in the middle of nowhere. I want you to understand, it's in the middle of nowhere. If you go today to the Gaza Road, there'll be other things on it. Houses and shops and people. But in those days, it was empty. It was the middle of nowhere. Did the angel of the Lord, and it's unclear whether it really means angel of the Lord, spirit of God, it's a bit unclear. But did the angel of the Lord tell Philip what he was to do? No, he did not. But he gave an instruction in our reading to Philip. Did you pick the instruction? It's something that is said before he goes to the road. Can you see the instruction in our translation? Somebody want to go for it? What does it say? Get ready. Get ready. Be ready for something that's about to happen. So, were you watching the drama? Because I think Philippa demonstrated perhaps how Philip got ready. Anybody suggest how Philip got ready before he went? How do you think he got ready? How would you get ready if God said to you, I've got something in store for you, get ready? How would you get ready? How did Philip got ready? Prayed. He almost certainly would have prayed. Caroline did that as part of the drama. He may well have looked at a few scriptures, but I suspect with the urgency, he prayed and then went. And remember, his first journey was on foot. Doesn't tell us he was whisked by the angel. He made the journey. We don't know how long it took Philip to get out there. How do you know Philip was praying and was ready? What in Philip's actions tell us that he was ready once he gets to the road? So he gets to this road in the desert. How do we know that he's ready? How do we learn that from the story? Anyone? There's something really important. How do we know that he's ready? That his prayerfulness has made him ready?
When the Spirit says to him, go and join yourself to that. Go and get in that chariot. Yeah. Stay near it.
He hears the Spirit. Thank you, Jackie. He hears the Spirit. The Spirit says, go. He goes. He goes near the chariot. He's heard the voice of God. If he wasn't ready, he wouldn't have heard the voice of God. If he was tied up in his thoughts thinking, oh my word, it's hot out here. Where am I going to get my next meal? What on earth is silly God telling me to go out here for? He wouldn't have heard. But he was ready. He goes to the Ethiopian and he says, do you understand what you're reading? Now, I need a replacement for me as Ethiopian. Does anyone of our young people want to dress up and be the Ethiopian, have the chariot? I'm afraid the key has been removed. Yeah, do you want to go for it, Sol? The key's gone. I'm not letting you have free rein. Don't know if Anna had to insure me for this morning. That's a big risk. But she ain't insuring you, Sol. But Sol, come forward. Okay, do you want to put that around your neck, just over your neck, Sol? And put it the other way around? Like a cape at the back? Nice. And fancy a headdress?
Yeah.
Okay, if you put it on so that that's at the front. Yeah, that's it. And then flop it over the back.
Oh, okay.
Nice. There you go. And I'm just going to put that there. Is that all right? Do you want to get into your chariot? Excellent. Here's the scripture you don't understand. Can you do me a good quizzical face? That'll do. That'll do. Okay, now think. Get in the mindset of the Ethiopian. He's not on his own. He's in a traveling caravan which probably contained loads of people. He was a very important man. Therefore, there are loads with him. Philip asks him, do you understand the scripture? You've got three choices. So, imagine you're at work or at school. You're in front of all your mates or your work colleagues. Somebody comes up to you and you're feeling a bit unsure. You don't understand what you're doing. But there are people around you who are not as important as you. There are people around you who would look to you to answer their questions. But you haven't got a clue what's going on. Philip comes up and says, do you understand what you're reading? He's got three choices. He can say, yes, I do, and lie. Because he might want to save face. He could say, yes, I do, and clear off. Because he was important. He was really important. Who was Philip? He didn't know. He could have been polite and said, thank you very much, but not today, thank you. Or he could have said, yeah, I don't understand this at all. To your neighbour, how easy do you find it to say, I don't understand, when you're in a position when there are others around you who might think that you should? How good are you at admitting you don't understand, or are you the sort of person that likes to bluff it and pretend? Just for 30 seconds or so, be honest. You're right there. Okay, a quick show of hands. How many of you, if you're really honest, admit that at some point in your life, somebody has asked you, do you understand it? And you've lied, you've bluffed and said, yeah, I understand it, and pressed on. How many of you, if you're honest, have done that? Because I've done it. Yeah. Thank you. Just pop your hands up. I just want you to think what this is like for this man. When I was a chemistry teacher in my second year teaching, I probably taught the most intelligent child I've ever taught. His name was Christopher Pedder. He went on to be a significant physicist at Oxford. I was asked a question by somebody in my chemistry class, not by Chris, but by somebody else in my chemistry class about something, and I didn't know the answer. I've only been in the job 1.5 years. I don't know the answer. If I bluffed, I might get away with most of the class, But Chris would know. I actually remember taking a breath and saying, actually, I don't know. Chris, do you know? And Chris was a lovely kid. He said, yes, sir, I do know. I said, Chris, would you like to say to the class what the answer is? And he did. And did the class think I was useless and pathetic and hopeless? No. I'd say it was a breakthrough in my teaching because they understood that I was being honest with them and I was being real with them and I gained respect. And I want to say to you that if you ever find yourself in a place where you don't understand, to be honest and to say so is always the better way. And this Ethiopian guy does it. And so the explanation comes that the sheep is Jesus, that Jesus died willingly for the sins of all the people. He didn't complain, hence the keeping the mouth closed, but he went to his death. And we're told in the passage that Philip says more than just the passage. He goes on beyond it. He would have explained how Jesus died for our sins, how Jesus rose from the dead so that we could have a new life with God and be made right with God, and how death and sin were overcome. And there's one more thing Philip must have spoken about, but the passage doesn't tell us, because we know that because of an incident that happens a short while later. What's the one more thing Philip must have spoken about because of what happens near the end of the reading? What do you reckon, Jan? Yeah, Philip must have spoken about baptism. Because when the Ethiopian sees the water, he wants to be baptized. Now, Sol, have you been baptized? If you wanted to affirm your faith again in front of all these lovely people outside and in front of all the people that might walk down the road, would you be willing to have a bit more water sprinkled on you? Very good. I'm not going to do it. Don't panic. Don't panic. Let me ask you another question, Sol. When school restarts at Forest, probably somewhere around Monday the 4th of September, if I said I'd come into the school playground with the diocesan pool and in the front of all your mates and everyone at school, I would do a reaffirmation of your baptism vows, would you be quite so willing? Thank you for your answer. I think he's terrified in case he thinks I'm being honest. Don't worry, I'm toying with you. But thank you for the answer. He said, I don't know. Brilliant. Thank you for being honest. This Ethiopian official is the bigwig. The rest in his party are his minions. They're his minions. He humbles himself to getting baptized in water. Bearing in mind who he was, those of you who know alternative translations know who he was, and bearing in mind the stigma with who he was, he was unbelievably out there. He saw water and wanted to go for it. One last question for you. In the version that we've had from the International Children's Bible, it adds something that the NIV doesn't. I was listening at the 8:30 service, and at the 8:30 service, the Ethiopian asked to be baptized, and in the NIV it says, Philip went and baptized him. Interestingly enough, in our version it doesn't say that. And I honestly believe that the International Children's Bible, while it may have taken a bit of liberty with the translation, is probably far more accurate with what happened. Can you see what it says in the version that you've got? Because actually, the NIV that we have in church just says, and Philip baptized, but actually, our version says something else. Yes, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That's really putting it on the line. It's not a sort of private confession. He is asking the Ethiopian, the whole caravan, however many are in the caravan, has stopped. The Ethiopians got out of his carriage. All the people in the train are going to be looking. Philip asked him this question, and the Ethiopian says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wow, that's awesome. In those days in Ethiopia, the ruler was believed to be so holy that they couldn't actually take decisions. It was actually the king's mother that took decisions. from the passage, the queen of the Ethiopians was called Candace. The king of Ethiopia was so holy, he couldn't take decisions. That's what the Ethiopians believed. This treasurer has just committed, if you like, apostasy in front of all those around. In other words, he has just dissed the king being the holiest. He said in front of all his retinue, all the people with him, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has put himself open to potentially losing his life. We know, though, that he didn't. Can anybody tell me how we know that actually what he did had an enormous effect? It's not in Scripture, but you may know the history of the early church. Does anybody know why what he did had a huge effect? Anybody know? Mike?
Well, only to say that there was a Coptic church in Ethiopia to this day that...
Yes. There is a Christian church in Ethiopia today which traces its history back to this story. In fact, when Christian missionaries from the West went to Ethiopia, they found the church was already there. That's really important. We think of mission as the Western church going and bringing the church, bringing faith in Christ. But when they reached Ethiopia, the church was already there. Where had it come from? Well, the Ethiopian Coptic church lays its origins at the Ethiopian eunuch. That means he went back, he shared his faith, and the whole belief structure at the centre of the court changed. It's a bit of a coincidence on one hand that we've got this story today. I draw up the rota, we work out then where the outdoor service is. But I don't think God meant it to be a coincidence. You're outside. It's a little bit vulnerable. Your next door neighbour might be coming down the road while you're worshipping God. Other people will come down and stare at us, whether they're jogging or walking their dog, whatever they're doing. You're a bit more vulnerable. How do you feel about being bold, being ready for whatever God tells you to do and doing it? Or like the Ethiopian, standing up and proclaiming your faith. It feels a bit more scary outside that building. But it's outside the building that the work of mission takes place. It's in your neighbourhoods, it's in your family, it's in your workplace, it's in your school, sorry Saul. It's wherever you are that the mission takes place. Can we give Saul a big round of applause? He sat there as an example. Saul, you can continue to wear the clothes if you want. So if you want to continue to wear the clothes, you can go back or you can leave them, whatever you want. Do you not fancy keeping the cloak? No, it's better than your dad's and my robes, though, I tell you that what. It's more impressive than your dad's and my robes. Can we all stand, please? I want us to say together exactly what the Ethiopian man said to Philip. He said to Philip, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We don't have a creed in our service today, but this will do quite nicely. So, can we all say those words together? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to change it. Can you all say together, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Saviour. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Saviour. Can you all say together, I believe that Jesus Christ is the hope for the world. I believe that Jesus Christ is the hope for the world. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, given the boldness that we've heard about from Philip, but also from the Ethiopian, I pray that you would fill my brothers and sisters and myself with your Spirit, that we might be bold in proclaiming the word of God. May we love people with your heart, Lord Jesus. May we serve people with your heart, Lord Jesus. And may we be like you, our loving Saviour, ready when the time comes to proclaim who you are. May we live that out every day of our life. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Let's continue to stand and worship.